You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
Welcome to the Win-Win Podcast. This is Ben Wolf, your host as always. We're going to learn from our guest today about telephone prospecting when digital sales fail. And before I get into introducing our guest today, I want to share why are you telephone prospecting? It's to grow the business, right? It's to make sales. And we talk about growing the business. Just my firm, Wolf's Edge Integrators, which is a firm of fractional COOs, integrators, put together a resource page where you can get resources to make your business also more self-managing, which is going to enable you to also one of the critical pieces of growth. And that's our resources page, which has got some great tools that I would invite you to check out. That's wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. And there's a tool there for putting together a roadmap for your business and a guide of how to use it, how to get it to that self-managing point, assessing your team. There's a tool for that. There's a copy of chapter one of my book, Fractional Leadership, Landing Executive Talent You Thought Was Out of Reach. And there's another resource there. So check that out, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources, which can be some very useful tools for you as you grow your business. But one of these tools is marketing and sales. And so I want to get into introducing our guest today, who is a sales and marketing trainer, particularly in the real estate industry. He's also the head of sales at Be Inclusive Now. He is the host of the Path to Mastery podcast. His name is David Hill, and you could find out more about him at davidihill.com, basically all spelled how it sounds, davidihill.com. And with that, I welcome you, David. Nice to have you here.
Thanks. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me, Ben. Appreciate it. Look forward to it.
My pleasure. And if you don't mind giving us a quick two-minute background, quick two-minute history on sort of where you came from and how we started talking about this very specific topic of telephone prospecting as a tool for growing a business.
Yeah, man. 35 years ago, I actually went, 35 years ago now, I went and I applied for a job that said I was going to make $100,000 a year, which you can imagine how much money that is 35 years ago, right? At 20 years old or 17 years old. And I didn't even make close to that. But what I did do is I went and I was calling to set up appointments for Kirby vacuum cleaner salespeople. I don't know if anybody remembers the Kirby. And that's where I started, man. I started in that little call center. It was tough. It showed up. They gave me a script. We literally called people in the telephone book. That's it. We went through the telephone book. We called.
That was your first job.
Leads, and that's it, man. And it just kept going up from there, my man. I went and after that, I went to work for MBNA America Bank, which is now, I believe, Capital One. And we worked in a call center and I called people and got them to do credit card applications over the phone, which I honestly did it. But I ended up stopping doing that because I felt that wasn't that wasn't ethical, which I don't think is why they don't do it anymore, right? But that's how I got started. And I ended up working for a magazine for 13 years. I did literally calling telephone books again, selling advertising, working for an advertising department, and went into real estate. Spent 18 years in the real estate space. I built my business calling for sale by owners and expireds. And now I'm a consultant. I work with salespeople and sales teams on their sales process. And, you know, calling is definitely one part of the sales process. So there's my 2 minutes, I hope.
That's the 2 minutes.
I might have been longer, but
before I met you, and thank you for having me on the Path to Mastery podcast, but before I met you, I mean, my thinking about telephone prospecting is it's obsolete. That's just, you know, something that just for the dark ages, you know, in the 80s and 90s maybe, but for some kinds of businesses that they're really missing out on an opportunity and really could be shooting themselves in the foot by ignoring this and just thinking it's something for the past. What kind of businesses would be suffering if they don't have a telephone prospecting element or don't have an effective one? And what kind of, so I want to focus on the negative first, really, right? Or what kind of pain or things are they going through by not approaching that?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm gonna talk, the first point you made is, you know, it's a lot of people have gotten away from it, which is, in a lot of ways, a good thing. Similar to direct mailing. Remember, you know, 15, 20 years ago, direct mail was the big thing, and then now everybody got away from direct mail, and direct mail slowed down. But now you can go out there and be very effective with direct mail again because people aren't getting
so a few big people stack are doing it
stuff in there. Yeah, exactly. Most people stop doing it. So I think that's one opportunity. The other thing, you know, you talked about is, you know, sales is a follow-up game, Ben. And you know that the majority of sales comes as a result of follow-up. So it's just a great way to follow up, stay connected with people. When you're good at it, it shouldn't be like you're pushy and aggressive and bothering people. You're just providing value. You're checking in with people. You're closing the loop with people. You know what I mean? And that's ultimately what it is. And I've had some people that said, man, you are just persistent. Like I just want to do business with you because of it. And you know, so it's a skill. It's not the only skill anymore. It's part of a larger process, mm-hmm. Ben. You know, but it's still, in my opinion, an old school, important way to be connected, because most people, you know, now will either go fall to text or email. The challenge with that, as you know, is there's no real connection. It's like if somebody sees your text, if they're in a bad mood, they can perceive your text way different than you expected, than mm-hmm. you anticipated it would be, right? Or the same thing with an email. Your email can be read the wrong way based on you know, the context that they're feeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where when you're talking to somebody, besides being in person, obviously is the most, you know, strongest, but voice to voice is a great way to communicate with somebody. They can feel it. They can sense how you feel. You can handle objections. You can ask questions. You can dig deeper. You can pick up on nuances. You can't do that through text. You can't do that through email. And I think that's another reason why it's so effective, Ben.
What kind of people, what kind of businesses should be thinking about incorporating this as part of it if they're not already?
I think every business should be with their past clients. You know, even right now, I have a client who, you know, she works with Fortune 500 companies and Fortune 100 companies. And, you know, she hired me as a consultant to go in because she's been out of the space since before COVID, and she's getting back into the space now. So she literally hired me now to go, because she's been sending emails and just not getting response. So now she's hired me to go in there and just say, hey, this is David. I'm giving you a call from, and the reason I'm calling you is because Barbara is rebranding and blah, blah, blah. And she's wanting us to get, and like, it's been so effective. Like I've got her on the phone with so many people just by doing that for her, you know. So I think that's one way you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, listen, any business, you know, I have another client, they do HVAC systems. You know, they have people that come in through lead forms. The salespeople call once and then they forget about it, you know, like, oh, they didn't call me back. So we're going back, we're finding older ones, and they're going back and finding older leads from, you know, 4 months, 6 months, a year, and going back and realizing those people haven't bought yet. And now all of a sudden you're in a conversation with that person, because originally they may have gone on four or five different sites, pressed a button for each one, and then all these people called them, right? But now here you are 6 months later, you're the only person in conversation with them. So, I mean, I think just about any business, I think you can incorporate it if you do it the right way. It, like I said, I'm gonna go back to what I said in the beginning. It should not be pushy. It should not be like aggressive, assertive. It's just, hey, here's the reason I'm giving you a call. You're authentic. You're transparent with people, and I think most people appreciate that. Not all. Some people like, take me off your list. I don't like incoming calls. Okay, awesome. Then no problem. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and you move on, right? And mostly that's homeowners, not businesses to business. You very rarely hear that. Uh-huh. But you know, when you're calling general, you know, the consumers, some people will be like, take me off your list. Like,
right. I gotta admit, I'm somewhat surprised to hear you just said like the large variety of businesses that this could be good for. It actually makes me think. I we were talking before we started recording about how I'm a member of Strategic Coach, and actually just reminds me talking about this topic that the salesperson, I don't even remember how they originally got my name. I don't remember signing up for anything, but I was getting emails from the relationship manager. I'll say his name because I bought eventually, right? Which is Matt Yonke. He's one of the sales or relationship management people at Strategic Coach. And he, you know, he must've sent me emails and kind of offered, hey, pick any book or, you know, from our Strategic Coach library and these different things. And then he would call like every couple months. He would just call. I don't know how he got my number even, but he would just call me. And I don't even know why, but like I would talk to him because I don't like ever like answer the phone from telemarketers. What?
He's laid back, right?
Like, also because it was Strategic Coach. Like I had a certain trust to Strategic Coach just because I knew who Dan Sullivan was. I trusted the brand. That's actually probably a lot of it. But it's like I actually talked with him. So we spoke for a few months, 6-9 months, and then I plunked down all the money and then finally joined, you know. But
let me ask you a question. Do you like his demeanor, even though like he's not a big closer, right? Like he's I wouldn't say he's a big closer. He's more of a just a follow up and hey, I'm checking in, I'm giving you some info. How are you doing? How's it been? How's your business? And even that approach over time, you start to build trust, right? Like, yeah. At least that's how I felt.
I definitely had a positive.
I haven't bought from Matt, but I said I haven't bought anything yet from him, but he calls me too. I think we were talking about that before we started recording. Maybe you should be more of a closer. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, I think, I mean, I feel like if he'd been more pushy, I probably wouldn't have liked it. But even during that period, I mean, when he first called, like, it was strange in a way for me, like, to get a call, like, you know, sort of, you know, from a business, you know, obviously he wanted my business, but I didn't have a negative feeling towards him at the time. And obviously I bought, I mean, in the end, but like now I'm in my third year, but it's interesting. So it's interesting to hear you talk about the wide variety of like types of businesses that this could be applicable for. You talked about how it's part of a broader strategy. It's not like your whole thing. So paint a picture for me, like, how, you know, where does it fit in to a broader picture?
So I think it depends on your product overall, right? So I still work with a lot of real estate agents when I was running my real estate business, I built it primarily on working with for sale by owners who are people that wanted to sell homes themselves. Threw an ad out there, and then all the realtors would call them, right? Like they would get, after a while, they'd be frustrated because all these realtors are calling. But I was good because I was very, I understood that in the beginning, they probably weren't going to do anything with me. So my only goal was just to connect with them and get some information, figure out why they're selling, and then stay in touch with them. Like that was my approach. Like I knew it was going to be 30, 45 days. And then I also worked expireds, people that had homes on the market with other real estate agents, but they didn't sell. Again, very similar. They get calls from a lot of people. They're frustrated in the beginning. So you go into it with that expectation. So in that, you know, to answer that question with regards to that specific clientele, the first interaction is going to be a call, right? You're going to call them. You're going to connect with them, provide some information, something of value, figure out where they are. They may say, hey, I'm not selling this house again for 6 months. I have no interest. All right, awesome. You mind if I send you some information, check back with you in 6 months? Yeah, that's fine. Great. What's your email address? Now I just got your email address, right? And I'm going to probably call them back in 3 months, not 6 months, or maybe even 2 months. Just, you know, I'll call them back in a week to make sure they got my email. And then I'll, if they're still going to wait, because people change their mind, then I'll obviously, you know, call them back in a couple months. So that would be one example. Another example is, you know, emails, like I have clients that have big databases. So we can send, like, let's say you're doing a webinar and we send an email to a couple thousand people, inviting them to a webinar. Now our system, we can see everybody that clicked on the email that didn't either register or anything. So now we can just follow up with those people that clicked on the email and say, hey, this is David. I'm giving you a call from. The reason I'm calling you today is we have a webinar coming up. We thought you'd be interested. We already know they clicked on it, right? I mean, we're not going to say, hey, we saw you clicked on a webinar.
Right, it's like Big Brother.
It's another reason for the call. So in that case, the call wouldn't be the first contact. It would be the contact right after the email. Does that mean there's so many different examples of how to effectively. And then it's just a long-term approach, Ben. It's like, I think one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of salespeople make is they don't, they think it's like a one and done. And right, we teach this, it's 5 to 12, like five to everybody listening to your podcast right now. I want you to remember it's going to take you 5 to 12 contacts on average to convert anybody. I bet even Matt with you, Ben, you probably on the fifth or sixth or maybe more is when you made a decision to join. Right. And it's across.
And there were emails too. I mean, it was not just calls.
Exactly. Yep. Well, that's what I mean. Sorry. Yeah. Just to be clear, if 5 to 12 would probably be calls,
right,
messages, emails, it could be 30. I mean, depending on how frequently you're sending emails, right? I don't consider like a newsletter though part of that. Like, is that just something that's randomly going out? I mean, something really specific to the sales process. You're sending an SMS. We also do video SMSs. Like, I'll take my phone and I'll just shoot a personal video without any software. Just turn on the camera and say, right, hey, Ben, listen, I hope you're doing great. You know, I know we have a call coming up in a few days. I want to make sure you got everything. If you need anything, let me know. Looking forward to hearing, connecting with you. And that's it. It's just right, a touch. It's a nice touch. It's personal.
Right. Yeah, no, that's eye opening. And is there anybody who this is not for? Like, who would you say, or have you experienced is not really applicable, not really that helpful, or people try it but it didn't work?
Yeah, great question. I think it's based, you know, I think behaviorally there's going to be some people that are going to struggle. Unfortunately, if they're, you know, they have a really I'm trying to think of the right word to say. I don't want to offend anybody. Just some people just
more introverted. I mean, I don't know.
I don't want to say introverted because I'm actually kind of introverted, but I know how to get outside of myself, right? But I think, yeah, I think if you're really, really introverted and you're really dry and you have no humor and you don't smile, because your energy, people pick up on your, and even though it's the phone, people will pick up on your energy. And if you're, you know, if you're not smiling and you're anxious, and that's what people get on the other end.
Right.
You know? So that's why smiling is big and being positive and using some inflection in your voice. And you know, that's going to be better than just, you know, this is John over at ABC. And, you know, it's just, so I think there are some people behaviorally. And then if you're not a service minded, I think at the end of the day, you're going to give up. You're going to quit, Ben, because here's the thing. It's
if you're too transactional about it, you expect fast or overly fast results.
Yeah. You deal with so much rejection, you quit. And in the reality is you gotta really realize that what you're doing is helping somebody solve a problem. And if you come with that mindset and somebody's like, hey, dude, go pound sand, don't ever call my house again, I mean, I hope you have a better day. That's it. You know, and you're moving on. I mean, I'll take you off my list. No big deal. Like, I'll sometimes say that to people. Kind of like, okay, hey, don't worry. I'm going to take you off my list. Have a good rest of your day. And then you just move on, you know, and that's it. And you smile.
Yeah.
I don't really call homeowners anymore. I it's been a while since I've been calling. I'm a call businesses now in my new role, but I used to deal with a lot of consumers and homeowners, and it's fun because you never know what you're gonna get, man.
Right.
There's no professionalism.
Right. There's a lot of rejection, and I like what you said earlier about being at the credit card company earlier in your career, MBNA or whatever, because as you said, that you have to have the attitude and feeling that you're giving someone value, that you're actually helping. If you don't really believe in what you're selling, or you know, or think, or just personally don't believe in it, that it's not really adding value for people, or it's just a sale for the sake of a sale, just to benefit me or the company, not to benefit them, you know, that's not actually a benefit to them, then that's that's against the, you know, the fundamentals of what's going to be effective for prospecting or using the telephone. What's an example of, I guess a story, maybe one of your recent clients or some, you know, some examples of where people have like implemented this and, you know, and then what happened?
So I'm trying to think of a recent example. I mean, I've got so many examples, in the real estate space. I did a workshop for a bank, Fidelity, local bank. They have like four branches, and we worked with their mortgage team, and none of them were making calls. None of them, you know, if they were like one of their buddies, they may call them and talk, cause they just weren't comfortable talking business. Like they really felt like, oh, if I call you, I'm like trying to push my business on you, right? Like they, in their mind, that was kind of, they felt right. Like salespeople are, it's pushy, it's aggressive, I don't want to be like that. And and this one girl that was in the workshop, you know, I challenged everybody, because it's a 2-day workshop, and I said I want you to after today, I want you before tomorrow morning, I want you to have 7 conversations with people. You have 7, and most people do or some don't, you know, but you know, some people have a couple. And it was this one girl that came back the next day, and she was so excited. She's like, oh my, I had the 7 conversations, and my gosh, this person's coming in to meet me this afternoon, and I hadn't talked to him in ages, and I was wondering if they were going to call me back. And she's like, and they were excited that I called, and you could just see the energy on her face. Like it completely changed her whole perspective of making calls, because she called this person, she got her at the right time. The other person was excited she called, and she was coming into the bank to see her that afternoon. And it was just, I felt like it was just a great breakthrough, not just for her, but for everybody.
Yeah. To hear that
there in the room at the time. Yeah.
Right.
Cause she would have never made that call. She would not have right. made that call if I hadn't challenged everybody to go home that night and make those 7 calls. And we gave him a script too, you know, an super easy script.
Right.
it was nothing complicated.
No, that's awesome. No, that's a great story, a great illustration. And yeah, I'm sure it did. It just painted a picture. Like, this is one of my colleagues. I know this person. Like, it's not magical. It's, you know, it's not some strange out of the box thing. Somebody I know that I work with did it, and it produced results. I mean, you know, regardless of whether it closed or not, but if you keep doing it, I mean, more things will close. But final question here, I guess, people that want to get better or start, like reinvigorate or start a telephone process in their sales process, you know, what should people do? Where can people go to, you know, to learn how to learn or get help on how to do that better or how to do it?
Well, I mean, you know, I can obviously help with that if people are interested. I mean,
that's davidihill.com, right? Davidihill.com. Is that where they should go?
Davidihill.com is my website. I also have, I have a free mini course, davidihill.com/free course. We'll get you into it. It's literally a 24 minute course. And then at the end, you can schedule a strategy call with me if you're interested. And this is what I do, but I would say, you know, for someone, like you want to get good at this, there's going to be nothing better than practice it. I mean, at the end of the day,
just do it.
Nothing's better than practice. You just got to get out there. You got to make calls. You got to practice. You got to get role play part. Like this is all the stuff we do. You know, if you and I were working together, Ben, I would role play with you. Like we'd role play going back and forth. You'd call me, I'd call you, you'd call me. And then, you know, so when you're making calls, you're prepared. You got to get that uncomfortability out in the beginning. And so I think if I would give everybody listening a tip, I'd say you just got to get uncomfortable in the beginning. You got to be willing to make those calls. It's funny because I told you earlier how I was doing the thing with CEOs, and you know, these are C-level executives. I'm not calling many CEOs, but C-level, but to me, this is new. And I was nervous. And so I was role playing it with my wife because I've never made these calls. And I was super like nervous, you know, and I've been doing this for 35 years, right, Ben. And I'm down there with my wife in the kitchen, like, you know,
wow,
role play calling her. and she's giving me objections and I'm a little sweaty. I was like, this is awesome. But I mean, that's what you got to do. You know, if you take it serious, that's how you're going to get good at it. And so I think that would be, you know, and the challenge with this is like, it's a mental game, right? And it's not super scalable, right? So that, you know, and I say that just because you got to find other people that can do it. Like, you can scale it out, but you can't scale yourself, right?
Right. So you have to have your sales team doing it.
Yeah. So you ultimately got to find somebody that's really, really good at it. And it's not super easy to find someone that's really, really good. But if you're willing to commit the time and to somebody, you know, and practice with them and help them, you can be good at it. You can find somebody and you can kind of start to scale your business. So I don't know if what I said just made sense, but
yeah, no, it's helpful. I mean, look, you got to just try it. You can scale with obviously getting other people or hiring people to do it.
Yeah,
or training your salespeople or investing in training. Obviously, people can get davidihill.com/free course. I said that right?
Yeah, that's
free course.
Exactly. Thank you.
davidihill.com/free course. And I appreciate you coming on, taking the time, making the time to share about this little known art that is getting forgotten by many people. But that, as you said, creates more opportunity now. There's not as much noise. There's not as many calls of like actual humans. You know, sometimes you get the bots calling, but you know, yeah, you know, real calls. And so this is a great resource, a great piece of knowledge, I think, for people who own businesses to be thinking about this and where this fits in the sales process. And I appreciate you making the time today. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. 100%. Thanks for having me, man. Thank you.
My pleasure. And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.